What did you make of the president's address last night?
Well, it was a very typical kind of farewell address, sort of looking backwards as well as looking forward. I thought he gave a short speech, 13 minutes, which some of these can be quite long. But he talked about some accomplishments, including the deal to release the hostages in Gaza, which just happened. And then he sort of warned the country about the threat of oligarchy and pressed Americans to be involved in democracy. So, you know, it's, these speeches don't have a lot of resonance in terms of, you know, what it affecting people right now. I think it's really aimed at historians. We remember George Washington's farewell address and a few others. I think that's what most, what Biden's speech we remembered as is sort of a historical artifact.
We were talking in the newsroom this morning about the president's speech and about some of the comparisons to some of the previous farewell addresses, perhaps that of Eisenhower or even John Adams, when John Adams warned of the threat of oligarchies. Has that just kind of become one of those common themes throughout American history to have this every few decades where a president would say something about oligarchies or just the future of democracy in our country?
It is a common theme in U.S. history, and you know, we've had times in the late 1800s, for example, where you could argue we had oligarchies with very powerful corporate bosses having a lot of influence. But we also see that history is very cyclical in terms of, you know, we do see people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos taking on more power and responsibility with the incoming Trump administration. Doesn't mean it's going to always stay that way.
The president leaving office with an approval rating I saw yesterday somewhere around 37%. Do you think this will be judged as a successful presidency for Mr. Biden?
I think in the it's very similar to Jimmy Carter. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, in that when Jimmy Carter left the presidency, he was judged as not a very successful president. But as time has gone by, Carter's stock has gone up. I think Joe Biden sort of place in history will increase over time. You know, one of the things we can say about Joe Biden is that he did get a lot of accomplished. He just wasn't a very good politician. I mean, a lot of Americans don't even know about the accomplishments of the Biden administration. That's even after a presidential campaign. So I think historians and people will look back more favorably over time.
Is there one thing you can point to now as the presidency comes to an end that of what his legacy might be?
Well, I think two things. On the foreign policy area, sort of strengthening our alliances. I mean, NATO increased its membership, and, you know, they have stood up to Russian aggression in Ukraine, and I think historically people will look back on that as an important thing. Domestically, I think just recovering from the pandemic, including passing some legislation that put money in people's pockets, got people back to work, and also things like the Inflation Reduction Act, which, you know, may have not necessarily brought down inflation like he wanted, but did a number of other things in terms of investments from rural broadband to renewable energy.
David, changing gears on you, if I could. As we mentioned, President-elect Trump set to take the oath of office on Monday. His cabinet picks going through those Senate confirmations, those continue today. Any big surprises for you thus far in these confirmation hearings?
No, not really. I mean, these things have gotten so, they're performative in terms of what goes on. I mean, we see Democrats going hard after the defense secretary nominee and even the AG nominee yesterday, Republicans kind of offering softball questions and propping up the candidates, the nominees. So, you know, I think as I see it right now, it doesn't look like anybody's in trouble. It looks like they'll pass, particularly the more controversial ones will pass along party line votes. So, you know, it's, they get a lot of noise in terms of coverage, but I think, you know, in the end, President-elect Trump is going to get most of his nominees.
As I let you go, I would like to get your perspective on something that Senator Tillis said in that hearing yesterday as it relates to Pam Bondi. He said basically that he does not support blanket pardons for the January 6th defendants. You feel like the senator is in the minority of his own party when it comes to those views?
You know, it's so hard to tell. Senator Tillis is a little bit more outspoken and makes his views known a little bit more so than the other Republican senators. I mean, clearly, there's Republican senators who are on board with pardoning the J6 folks, but I think a lot of senators just keep their head down under the radar. They don't want to be attacked by the future president and don't want to have a potential primary challenge. But Tom Tillis, you know, he knows his course, and even though he might get a primary challenge, he speaks his mind.
David McLennan, Mayor of the College Political Science Professor. David, always appreciate the time and the perspective. Look forward to visiting again on a number of topics very soon.
As do I, Chris.
Thanks so much.